Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show where we explore the many paths to transformation and aim to mine a few nuggets of gold that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though that might feel counterintuitive, like the nightingale, the bird that sings out in the dark. Thanks for joining me today. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and I have a great guest with me today, someone who's a bit of a poster boy for living our best life. But before I introduce him, how have you been this week? I don't know about you, but I've been really feeling the effects of what seems to have been a very powerful full moon, energetically, on the 19th of August. It was a supermoon and a blue moon, and it's brought about some pretty big changes to my life and work that I'll be sharing with you in the coming weeks, so stay tuned for that. But back to today's guest. Jake Jensen is a professor of sport and performance psychology at California State University in Northridge, and he's also a certified mental performance coach. But that's not all. One career is enough for some people, but not for Jake. He's also a writer, a producer, a radio host with Power 98.5 in the USA, a model, and an actor. Sport and acting came together recently in a new film called Challengers that Jake has starred in with Zendaya. It's all about three tennis players, which is perfect for Jake because he was a collegiate tennis player in his earlier days. And he has a lead role as well as being executive producer in the upcoming feature film Believe. Like many of us, Jake used to feel the need to separate the different interests and pursuits in his life, but not anymore. Variety really is the spice of life for Jake, and it's working out well for him. Add a little mindfulness, exercise, mindset, and good nutrition, and, well, let's just hear from Jake himself. I couldn't help myself. I just had to ask him where he gets the time to do everything.
That's a good question. You know, my first response would be I don't sleep enough, but I know how important sleep is, so I don't want to lead with that because I'm actually trying to prioritize making sleep because I know how important that is for our mental health and our recovery. But I am energized by doing a lot, and so it does give me more energy when I am doing a lot of things. And I don't know if I'm just lucky in that way, but it is a lot to balance and to manage.
It is. But I guess if you're doing what you love doing, then, you know, it's a no-brainer, really. You'll just carry on and you'll enjoy it and be energized by it. Yeah,
absolutely. And I wake up every morning excited about what I'm doing. And that, I think, is a huge, huge part of it.
Massive. And we'll get on to how you do that in a bit, I think, probably. But first, I want to ask you, I mean, you're getting really good parts in films and stuff these days. How did you make the transition from psychologist, sports psychologist, to actor?
Well, it's been a journey. I remember one of my favorite professors at the university, this was almost 20 years ago, took me out to lunch and said, "Don't answer this question out loud, but what do you want to be? What do you want to become?" And at that moment, acting had not been anything that was really on my radar. And I just remember it was like a thunderbolt. I just thought to myself, I want to be an actor. But I was, you know, in my early 20s going, how can I just suddenly become an actor? So I did some tennis coaching. I went to grad school, got my PhD, but I was starting my graduate work. And I thought, if I don't try to pursue acting at this point, it's not that it's ever too late, but I need to do it now. And so I started taking some acting classes in grad school. I'm glad I ended up staying and getting my degrees. It's worked out really well, but that's where I really, said I need to be an actor. And then it worked out that I was able to move to LA, got a job as a professor and as a sports psychologist, but then would allow me to be in a city where acting is, you know, it's where people come from all over the world. But it was a big wake-up call to go there because suddenly I'm with all these actors that are so, you know, experienced and have way more credits and training. And so it's just kind of 10 years ago when I moved to LA, it was like I was just thrown into it. But it's it's paying off, the persistence and the training, and it's, I'm starting to get more where I want to be with it.
And at least you don't have to be a waiter in a bar or a restaurant to, you know, put yourself through acting classes. So that's a good thing, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, so it was your dream and you've made it happen, which is fantastic. I've just mentioned some of the projects that you're involved in right now, which are brilliant. And it's so interesting how, you know, in your most recent projects, you've actually combined the sport and the acting, which is another plus. It's great. But when we talked before about your life path, if you like, and you were telling me how when you were at college, you had a scholarship, a sports scholarship, and you really learned a lesson about balance in life and about, you know, over training, maybe even. And tell me about that story, because I think that's really important for people to hear.
Well, As I said, you know, when we had a previous conversation, I always loved tennis, and it was something that kept me in shape. I could do it with my family. My mom's a very good player. I loved the sport. But when it got to college, I think I put so much pressure on, I've got to win, I've got to be the best on my team, I need to keep my scholarship, that I put so much into that, and that became my only identity. And I started valuing myself only because of tennis. And all these other things were going so well in my life. I was valedictorian. I, you know, had great friends and family. Everything was going great, but I was not playing the tennis that I wanted to play. And I just remember I said to my coach, and I think I even said to my mom, like, I hate myself. And it sounds, to me now, it almost sounds silly, but at the time I really felt that way because I was not performing at the level that I expected myself to. And then the fun was taken out of it because I forgot why I played tennis in the first place. So as a sports psychology consultant now, I really try to emphasize to anyone, it's fine to be result oriented to a point, but don't lose sight of why we do the things that we enjoy doing. And I think if we become too result oriented, that can lead to a lot of mental health issues and not being very, very balanced or very happy.
Right, exactly. And not doing the things that you're passionate about. Now, you were passionate about tennis, but you took it to that extreme, maybe because of other people's expectations on you, but you also said that you weren't playing the way you felt you should be playing. But who says how you should be playing, right? That's a lesson that I think a lot of us need to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think sports are so based on winning or losing, on rankings, on past achievements, going, hey, I used to beat this player, I should beat them now, or I was ranked higher than them, therefore I should be winning. And I think we take out of the process, we don't know what other people's process is like. They may be improving more now than we are, and that's okay, because we all learn, we all grow, we all develop it at different rates. Our processes are different. So when we stop comparing ourselves to others, I think is when we truly are able to grow ourselves. And I really tried to apply that as an actor as well, because if I just compare myself to other actors of my age and look that have more credits and more experience, I just get in my head about it. I just have to focus on my process. And I can't worry about anyone else's.
Yeah, somebody said comparisons are odious. I can't remember who that was, but it's a famous quote somewhere. But they really are. And too many of us do compare ourselves. And it's not very helpful with other people because we're all unique. And I think that's another thing that we need to remember as well. And I guess that, you know, for you as well, people will look at you and you say, well, they'll say, well, you're a sports psychologist. What are you doing acting? Why would you do that? And who does that, right? So I guess that's another barrier that you have to get over as well.
Well, I 100% believe my acting training and my acting experiences have made me a better sports psychologist, and probably vice versa. My sports psychology training has helped me as an actor to avoid some of the burnout that I maybe would have faced dealing with rejection, dealing with loss or auditions, not booking something is similar to losing in a sport. But I also, like I said, a lot of the training I've done, I've worked with a couple of different acting coaches. A lot of what they have taught me, I also applied into my sports psychology. So I really do believe that the two careers, the two interests absolutely complement each other and have made me better at both. So that's how I feel about it.
And then just going back to how you were thinking when you were saying that you hated yourself, I guess that this is something that is coming up a lot these days. A lot of young people, younger people and older people are really not liking where they are. So tell me a little bit more about that aspect of your work, helping people get through that place where they just really don't like themselves, don't know what they're doing, don't even want to go forward sometimes.
Well, absolutely. And I think a few things there. I think one thing is I mentioned before identity, if we put all of our identity into one thing, that can be dangerous. If I'm only my job, or if I'm only this one aspect of me. So I think helping people realize there's many different facets to who we are, and to value and appreciate the different identities, the different assets that we bring and that we have. But I also think not being afraid to try something new, to get out of a rut. I realize people have financial responsibilities and families, and it's not just like, oh, I can just always, you know, change what I'm doing one day. But I think with a plan in place and, you know, just going, I can find something that's more fulfilling or brings me more joy, or and not being afraid to do that. And not being afraid of change. And that's something that I was a little kid that hated change. And now as an adult, I've embraced it. And I think that's one reason I feel fulfilled, because I'm willing to do different things. And, you know, even 5 years from now, I could be doing different things. So,
yeah.
So I think that's.
And being creative as well. I think being creative is really important. I've been talking to a lot of people recently about the whole thing of how we need to bring out our creative side in order to be more us, really. So I guess in one way we could say that you're being more you.
Yes, I think absolutely. And I think, you know, I always loved performing when I was young, and tennis fulfilled some of that, but I also feel like the acting fulfills that to some degree even more, allows me to be creative, allows me to perform. I love music, so I've always played the piano, but that's tended to be something that I just do in the privacy of my home, whereas acting has allowed me to get that creative juices and things out into the world, and I think that's important.
Yes, I had forgotten for a moment that you also play the piano, so you do virtually everything, really. I mean, you are sort of so well-rounded. But you know, getting back to the mental health part of it, the piece of it, it is very important to allow ourselves to act. Oh, no, this is, I mean, you're the sports psychologist, you know better than I do, allow ourselves to access all those parts of us which are really creative, that are, you know, these different sides of us, which can all come together. We can't just be single-mindedly doing one thing one way.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, even I was, you know, I've been watching a lot of the Olympics, and I was pleased to see so many athletes. I think sometimes we think, oh, if you're an Olympic athlete, that's the only thing that you can focus on and do. And obviously they're very, very driven and determined and put a lot of time into their sport. But a lot of them I did find talking about the importance of balance and having other interests and activities and things that they enjoy doing. And I don't remember hearing that like 20 years, even 10, 15 years ago. I think there is a shift now, realizing we need to have creative outlets and other interests. And it's nice to see more like athletes talking about that.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think people are beginning to realize that you can't just be one thing. You just can't be focused on one thing. You have to allow all the different parts of you to emerge in life so that you can be a fully rounded human being, creative human being in whatever you're doing, and whether that's sport or acting or writing or just going into the office and being an accountant. You know, which some people don't think, well, there are creative accountants, but let's not go down that road. But you know what I'm saying? It's you know, whatever you're doing, there's, you know, you have to let your creativity out.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that I've always done through piano. And then obviously acting has given me that. But I agree, it doesn't matter what your profession is, whether you're an accountant. I always joked I'd be the worst accountant. That would not be a good choice for me, but I respect those that do that. But even building in nature walks through the day, some breaks, doing something for yourself. So it's not always just, I think people think, oh, I've got to be productive and sit at my desk all day. And the reality is, I think we're much more productive when we actually get up and move and do something else. And then we come back refreshed. I think that's very important, no matter what your career or profession is.
Well, I'm a great exponent of getting out into nature and taking nature walks, and I know that. Well, again, we've talked before about how we both take time to get out into nature, and that's important as well. And even, you know, if you're playing sport, you might be playing sport out on a pitch, a field, or cycling, or doing whatever you're doing in nature, but it's taking time to breathe in that air, that nature, the, you know, do a bit of forest bathing, that kind of thing, you know, just actually feel nature and surround you and hold you. I think that's very important.
I do too, and I have two homes, one in Florida and one in California, and I'm incredibly fortunate that I have nature very accessible to me. So I'm in Florida right now. Yesterday, went on a walk, not with any specific goal to get anywhere. I just walked around and I saw a bobcat. I saw gopher tortoises, which are an endangered species. I noticed birds I hadn't seen before. It was just that energizes me. And it's probably the best thing I can do for my mental health.
How lovely. I'd love to see bobcats and the like, but my daily dose of basking seals, singing to us swimmers, seabirds, gannets diving for fish, cormorants hanging out their wings to dry, and the occasional dolphin pod or whale. That's daily nourishment for my soul and really helps my mental state. But even if you live in a city, it's possible to connect with nature. I remember how beautiful it was to see the kestrels that nested in a nearby tower block when I lived in London. But enough of my reminiscing. It's time to take a short break right now. Back with more from Jake Jensen right after these messages.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and my very talented guest today, Jake Jensen. Now, something Jake knows a lot about as an actor and a sports psychologist is mindset. And to me, mindset is hugely important no matter what we do in life.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think there's so many components and factors that go into mindset. But, I work a lot with mindfulness, which I think impacts our mindset, being very much present in the present moment, being aware of our surroundings, being aware of ourselves, our emotions, our feelings, our thoughts, not just, and then not judging them, but paying attention to them, learning from them. So I think a lot of my mindset training goes back to some of those fundamental concepts of mindfulness, which is awareness, non-judgmental thinking, and working on our own inner self-talk and dialogue. I mean, I think we're our own. Sometimes the things I say to myself, I would never coach or say to someone else. And I think, why in the world am I treating myself that way if I would never treat somebody else that way? And I try to get athletes and that I work with to think that same way. Like, why would you want to treat yourself the way that you would never treat someone else? And I think for me, that's a big part of the mindset training that I do.
Yeah, and I think that it is true. You know, we beat ourselves up sometimes more than we would do anybody else. And I find that myself. And this, so the same things which help you get to a high level in sport will help you achieve what you want to achieve in life in general. And let's talk a little bit more about mindfulness, because so many people talk about that. I think that mindfulness for me is going for a walk and noticing. You hinted at that just earlier, going for a walk and noticing what's around you and just feeling into the energy that's around you. But a lot of people just say, well, no, you've got to do transcendental meditation. That's the only way that you can cut out the world and you know, get the benefit. What do you think? I mean, I think probably they all have a place, but it can be just as easy as just being quiet for a bit.
Yes. And I think, you know, for most people, if I suddenly said, you know, let's have you do transcendental meditation every day for 20 or 40 minutes, that just, it doesn't fit. It doesn't work for most people's lifestyle, or it seems very overwhelming. Whereas take 5 minutes and just receive your breath and notice your surroundings and take in the sunshine and the fresh air or the air after it's rained. Just take in whatever is there and just notice and be aware. And I think that's a huge step. Everybody, I believe, can do that. Even if you have a hard time sitting for very long, it doesn't need to be sitting. You can go out and walk and move. And I actually think incorporating more movement into mindfulness is something that has been a big shift for me. You don't have to sit down with your eyes closed. Make it part of your day and your routine, and it's fine to move. In fact, I think it's even better a lot of times to be moving.
Yeah, I find the same thing when I'm swimming. I'll be swimming in the water, in the seawater, and just noticing, but the movement really helps. And then just feeling the water flowing against you and everything. It's just a beautiful experience, which really sets me up for the day, I have to say. I know that sometimes my swimming buddies and I will just be chatting nonstop sometimes, but even that, it's that community spirit as well, you know, coming together with other people. And is that something which you talk about as well when you're helping people, you're coaching people?
Yes. And what's interesting is, you know, I gravitated toward tennis, one part because I really liked the individual nature of it. But something that acting has taught me is how important community is. I have people, you know, go, well, how can you sometimes stand LA and the hecticness and what are people like there? And I've actually formed a very nice community of acting friends. And that's been something that I really appreciate and I think is important. And I think maybe in team sports, you get that naturally more as well. But whereas individual sports, it tends to, you know, obviously you have to have people you train with and things, but it's less of a kind of community that you form. But I know, like, I couldn't have lasted in LA without that community of actors in terms of just being there to support each other.
And that's not a quality that people naturally associate with actors either. I mean, people tend to think, probably wrongly, that actors are all out for themselves and would stab you in the back as soon as look at you for a part. But it's good to know that, like any community, like any place that you work, you will have people who will have your back.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I think obviously there's those diva actors out there that give, you know, a bad name to the profession. But for the most part, the working actors that I associate with are artistic, creative people pursuing their passion and are really great people. So I think that's hopefully a kind of stereotype that we get away from, because there's, like I said, there's some of the best people that I've met are through this community.
Yeah, so that team spirit, that team support is really important. Of course, a lot of people these days don't have that. So, and a lot of people, communities are fragmented and families are fragmented. So it can be really difficult for people. I wonder if there's something that you suggest to people who you coach that they do to help themselves, even if they don't have that kind of community behind them. I mean, what are the suggestions that you make to people to help them really get into the mindset of getting what they want to get done in life done? If I can put it that way.
Well, one thing I think when we go back to this idea of doing what you're passionate about. And I think for some people, literally, it's like, I don't know what I'm passionate about.
Yeah,
So being
exactly.
willing, I think being willing to try different things is a start. I think most people have something in their mind that they want to try or want to do. And so sometimes it's just really encouraging going, okay, let's figure out how you can get yourself out there to try that. Because then once you do figure out something that you really love and are passionate about, that then leads to community, and that leads to being around people that then inspire and motivate. Hope, I mean, not every time, but for the most part. And I think then that shifts your mindset. But I think a lot of it, for some people, it's getting that courage to be willing to try something and to be willing to step out of their comfort zone. And I know it's not easy. I'm a natural introvert. I go into a new situation with lots of people, and that can be a little bit overwhelming. But I also know the importance of finding, and it doesn't need to be a huge community, but when we surround ourselves and with people that support us, that we support them, and that are doing some similar types of activities or interests that we are doing, that can just by itself, I think, shift our mindset. So for me, a lot of times it's trying, doing, failing, trying again. But if people are willing to go through that process, I think that really will shift your mindset and allow you to find something that will give you community and purpose.
Yeah, you really have to put yourself out there, don't you? You can't just sit at home and mope and complain and tell yourself how awful you are.
Yeah. And it's not easy. And I don't, I always want to be careful. And like, I just make this sound sometimes easy, and I know it's
Yeah.
not. And that's why I think, I like my role as a sports psychologist is I'm your, the athletes I work with or the individuals I work with, I'm their biggest support and cheerleader. But I can only do so much, and then they have to, get out there and do it. But I understand it's not an easy thing to put into practice these some of these concepts. And so I want people I work with to know this is hard and this takes effort, but the reward and the fulfillment and it is worth it. But you are going to fail, and it's going to be difficult times. As long as we learn from those and adopt that kind of growth mindset, then I feel like we're prepared for that. But just saying, oh, this is going to be all rosy and gray, is just not the reality.
No, that doesn't work quite
No,
that way. And now I'm
no.
curious talking with you about this because you say you're an introvert, and I always used to be very, very shy. Can't really tell when that stopped being the case. But I do get those moments still. You walk into a room and you think, okay, just have to make myself get in there and talk to people. It's a bit like the first time that I go into the water in the morning when I go for a swim. It's freezing cold, and there is that moment you think, "What on earth am I doing?" And then you just make yourself go in there. Make yourself get in there. So I'm just curious if you can recall the process that got you through being such an introvert, because I think it's really important for people to understand that, we do have to take action of all different kinds. And it isn't just about succeeding in a job or a sport. It's also in terms of our health, our overall health, We need to take that action and not be scared. So what got you through that?
Well, I'll answer that in a second. Just I have to say, I love that analogy of getting in that cold water and how that just it hits you like probably like a, I don't know, just to be shocked to the system. But once you're in and doing it, then it's one of the best things you can do for yourself. And for me, that's somewhat the same. Like I was at a sports psychology conference last month in Austria, and they had this big dinner and dance at the end. And walking in that room with 1,000 people was a little bit like jumping in that cold water. But once I was there, I had one of the greatest nights I've had in a long time, just really a lot of fun. So I just thought that was a great analogy. But I am very lucky, going back to your question, I have a twin sister who is an extreme extrovert. And she taught me how to jump in and do things. And honestly, without her, she always was the one that was willing to try something first. Even when we went off to college, like she went off first, and I got to see her make that adjustment of moving out of the house and going into a dorm. And although obviously I don't have her around all the time now, she really did. I think it was a really nice balance. There were things that I probably brought to our relationship as twins, being more of an introvert, but definitely the extrovert side of her really helped me to have somebody to do things with, to jump in and kind of take that lead socially. And I think even for me now, it's good to have a balance of community, that some are more like me that are more introverted, but also being around others that help me with that more extroverted side. And then I think just my desire to do things and try things, it's just I go, well, I have to throw myself out there, even though I may want to stay at home and just be by myself. I need to get out there and network and be out there. So it's been a process. Obviously most people don't have a twin sister to help them with that, but that is what really helped me initially in life, to be totally honest.
I think that's great. And then for you, did anything ever stick in your mind like, I can't do this? Because a lot of people will say to themselves, I mean, I guess this is the negative self-talk. A lot of people will say to themselves, oh, you know, but I can't do that. Oh, I'll never be able to reach that stage. Or yeah, I've got, oh, they suddenly realize they have something wrong with them physically, and then they say, oh, but there's nothing I can do about that. But actually, there is always something you can do, isn't there? There's always a next step that you can go to that will help you either achieve what you need to achieve in terms of health or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of being human is we have those moments where we go, I can't do this. I can never achieve. I'm too old. Don't have enough experience. My body's not the same as that for, I think we all have that. And, it's been a process to, in my life at least, to overcome that and to just know that those thoughts, that type of thinking does not, is not productive, is not helpful. And I do think that all the training I've done in sports psychology, mindset training, the mindfulness, and then just knowing that, yeah, I've accomplished some things that I probably didn't always believe that I could, but through perseverance, I've done it. And so I remind myself of that, hey, yeah, as an actor, I had way fewer, less training and fewer credits and things, and I'm getting some very good auditions now and book some good roles. And so I think it's a process. I think we all have that at times, but so I think, yeah, through experience and then through conscious going, hey, that's not helping me, that's not facilitating that, those kind of thoughts, and then changing, doing something about it.
Now that got me thinking. But before we get into that, let's just take another short break. Stay with us for more from me and my guest, Jake Jensen, right after this.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and my special guest today is Hollywood actor and professor of sports psychology at California State University Northridge, Jake Jensen. Now, I mentioned before the break that Jake had got my grey matter ticking over, and here's what was going through my head. As you were talking, I'm thinking, so what in your mind is the process? What is it about mindfulness, particularly about meditation? What is it about those kind of processes that help us, allow us to move out of whatever condition or situation that we find ourselves in? What do you think it is? That is it the opening up? Is it the expansion internally? What do you think it is?
I think that's absolutely part of it. I think anyone that's done any kind of meditation realizes that it's not all just getting to this place where there's no thoughts or thinking. A lot of times there's a ton of thoughts that go through, and sometimes emotions and feelings come up. And I think embracing those, not judging them, paying attention to them, I've learned a lot about myself. So I think that's part of it, being willing to fail, like I mentioned before, and being okay with that.
I was just thinking about being willing to fail, because another thing that people tend to shy away from when they think about meditation is that, well, I can't possibly, you know, I've tried meditating, I can't possibly get rid of all those thoughts in my head. But you don't get rid of them. You just learn to let them go. They come up and you let them go. You just don't stick with them. That's my experience anyway. And then, you know, sometimes I'll just say to people, just sit quietly for 5 minutes every day. Just sit in silence. See what happens. You'll get thoughts come up. Of course you will. Doesn't matter.
Absolutely. You know, my acting coach, who's British, from England, but he's actually helped me to really learn that it's okay to not always be happy. I think sometimes in the US, true, America, true. We have this, oh, life's goal is the pursuit of happiness and we should be happy all the time. And I've actually become much better at realizing that it's okay to not be happy all the time. And I've actually learned a lot when I sit in, I'm sad sometimes, or I'm angry, or whatever the emotion. I don't want to stay in there too long, but I actually have learned to appreciate those moments that I'm not just happy. And that's been really, and I think all the acting work is, you get to explore emotions in different, almost in a safe place, because it's sometimes through another character that you're playing or whatever, but it's allowed me to be much more comfortable with experiencing a range of emotions and being okay with that. So that's been interesting for me.
So it's been like a kind of therapy.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is.
Yeah. Yeah. It is interesting. And, you know, I do remember years ago when I first started learning about meditation and stuff like that, I thought that you just had to be calm and peaceful all the time and, you know, be very zen. And of course, no, that's not it at all, is it? I mean, you get angry. You just don't hold on to that anger.
Yeah. I think that's really important. It's not about not feeling emotions and having certain thoughts. It's just, but not staying in there or clinging on to them, but letting their natural flow.
Exactly. So I think that's it's been a big lesson for me in my life. It's like, you know, you will be sad, you will be angry, you'll be all of these things, but just notice it and don't beat yourself up about it and let it go. So I'm a lot happier for understanding that.
I am too.
Yeah, it's a freedom in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I love that we've been having this conversation. It's been great. We're not quite at the end, but we are coming to the end. And what I want to ask you is, if there was one thing or one process or one little, you know, little thing that you, a favorite thing that you ask your clients to do to help them get through life in all its, in all its vicissitudes. There's a good word, vicissitudes. What would that be?
One of the things that
I put you on the spot now. You don't.
no, it's great. I have a goal to break a sweat every day, and maybe that works because I live in California and Florida. That's always hot. But the idea behind that is I do something every day that involves movement, because I think movement takes care of our bodies, but it also takes care of our minds. Because through that process of movement, and I'm not talking about going to a gym, I'm not talking about playing a sport, I'm talking about doing something that gets you active, moving, and that you enjoy. And I think that's so important. And for me, that can be a nature walk. For you, it's obviously swimming in the sea. Whatever that is, my day is much better, and that adds up. If I do that every day, I think it has a balancing effect, both physically. Obviously, it's very helpful physically, but also mentally and emotionally. So it may not work as well in a cold climate, break a sweat every day, but it's that idea of doing something that's getting your moving on a daily basis. So that may be what I'll leave it with.
I like that, and I do love a nature walk myself. And funnily enough, when I was just getting into my car, I drove to where I swim this morning, and I was just getting into my car this morning, and I saw a woman in a sleeveless top, and I looked at her and thought, "Good grief, really? It's not that warm here today." And I realized that she'd been on a long walk and that she had, worked up a sweat, and she'd taken her jacket off. But yeah, I do love a good walk myself. And walking, not running. I'm not a big runner, but walking is fabulous. I can walk for ages, and it's just great. And I notice what's going on around me as well. I just pay attention to, everything that's happening in the natural world around me. It's such a great way to get away from, because we're all stuck to screens all day. Well, not as an actor or a psychologist necessarily, but a lot of us are, and it's a great way to get yourself out of that. Well, Jake, it's been fabulous having you with me today. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I would, just ask you, if people want to find out more about you, where do they do that? You've got a couple of films coming out soon, haven't you? Have you got any dates for any of those, or is that something you don't talk about right now?
No, there's a film that I have the lead role in that I also am a producer on that it'll be sometime this fall. I do not have an exact date yet. It's a feature full length feature film. I'm excited. We're probably going to put it on some type of film festival circuit. See where we can get it distributed. There's so many streaming platforms now, but so I unfortunately don't have a date yet. But it will. We're targeting probably October would be my guess.
Great.
But in terms of connecting with me on all social media, Instagram, TikTok, X, or what was Twitter, it's Jake Jensen Media. So just my name and then media. I do check my actual I do check my messages on there. In the US, I'm obviously people can contact me through my university, which is California State University, Northridge. I have profiles up there, but the quickest and easiest is probably just through social media.
I love it. I love it. And the film that's coming out is called Believe. Is that the one?
That's the one,
Yeah.
yes.
Yeah. See, I do read up on my guests
I know, I'm
before I speak
impressed.
to
That's great.
you. So fantastic. Thank you so much. I wish you all the best with that. I wish you all the best with both of your careers. Who doesn't want a portfolio career, as they sometimes call it? Exactly. And after we'd stopped recording, I found out that Jake, like me, is a Gemini. So that explains why we both love to have variety in our lives. I really enjoyed speaking with Jake. Do get in touch with him or follow him on social media to find out all about his latest projects. And with that thought, it's time for me to leave you. I'd love to hear how you're living your healthy life. And whether you've also been feeling the effect of the supermoon at this time, I think a lot of us have. You can message me on Instagram at Practical Alchemist or email me at jj@thepracticalalchemist.uk. Do check out my YouTube channel, Alternatively Speaking, as well. And if you want to find out more about me, then head on over to my website, which is thepracticalalchemist.uk. I have another website, of course, which is where you can find out all about my energy clearing work. And if that interests you, do go to safehavenhealing.uk. And if you're hungry for more health information, why not check out our Health Triangle magazine? You'll find the link to that on the UK Health Radio homepage. For now, though, I want to thank you all for listening. Do join me next time for more Practical Alchemy and more fabulous guests with great information on how to be naturally healthy. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.